Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, good evening, good evening, and welcome to Beauty Talk. This is your host, Janice Tanell, and I'd like to welcome you guys to the first show of our ninth season here on Beauty Talk. And we just want to thank you, our listeners, our fans, our supporters, our family and friends, for helping us get to this point. We thank you also to some of our product supporters who've joined us for this ninth season. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are happy to be here again. Happy New Year. Hope everyone had a wonderful holiday season for those of you who celebrate Christmas and the New Year. Hopefully you had a wonderful experience this year. And we are ready to get started with our ninth season. So I'm going to turn it over to my sister Denise so that she can greet you in her own way.
Good evening, everyone, and Happy New Year once again. Thank you all for joining us this year, the very first day of the year, so we're so happy to be back. We enjoyed our holiday and the time off, but we're glad to be back to bring you this Hot Topic show. So just wanted to give you all just some quick beauty news really quickly, and we'll get right to it. For Local 706 voting members of the Hair and Makeup Guild, the voting members for the Hair and Makeup Guild Awards, your deadline for nomination ballots to be turned in is January 6th. Again, the deadline is January 6th for all nomination ballots for the Hair and Makeup Guild Award nominees. For more information on that, you can go to your website, local706.org. That's local and the number 706.org. If you're joining us live tonight, you can call in with your questions or your comments at 914-803-4399. You can also listen live directly from your smartphones by dialing that same number. If you wish to ask a question or to make a comment, please dial the number 1 when prompted to do so. And then you can also join us on our tweet chat by using the hashtag #BeautyLounge. As well as the hashtag #BeautyTalk. If you use one and not the other, that's perfectly fine, but we definitely like to go with the hashtag #BeautyLounge, and then, you know, sometimes just out of habit, we sometimes just use #BeautyTalk as well. And again, you can always listen to the show online by going to blogtalkradio.com/beautytalkwithillusions. And this is something that we started some years ago, and we've been trying to keep it up, just kind of reminding people to join us. But this is a way that we've been able to connect with the world, and a way that we want to continue connecting with the world. So I don't know if you are loyal listeners to this show, you've heard us talk about, you know, some listeners that have emailed us from Africa, from Uganda, who listens to our show there. We've been able to connect with them, not just through email, but through BBM. Now, BBM, of course, used to be BlackBerry Messenger, but now it's just BBM, and you can get it on many different platforms. You can get it on iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, and I believe Microsoft.
Windows.
Mm-hmm. Windows, yes, Windows. So on all those different operating systems. So you can go to bbm.com and download it that way, or you can go to your app stores on the iPhone or Google Play on Android and BlackBerry. Okay, so you can download that. If you're interested in joining our BBM group, which we have a BBM group where we discuss topics, not just the night of Beauty Talk, but just throughout the week as well. You can join us by going to our Twitter page at beauty_talk and leaving your PIN number as well as the hashtag join. Hashtag join and your PIN number will add you that way. But we're also going to put out on our social media pages, our Twitter, our Facebook, and our Instagram, our barcode. So you can go right to those social media pages and you can scan that barcode and join our group that way. Hopefully there won't be any spam or any craziness going on. But you can join us one of the two ways by leaving your PIN number and hashtag join on our Twitter at beauty_talk. And again, you can scan our barcode, which I'll try to put that out throughout the show on our social media pages. You can follow us on Facebook. We're Beauty Talk Online Radio. You can follow us on Twitter. We're beauty_talk. And on Instagram, we're beauty_talk_media. Okay? So please stay tuned for an ad from our sponsor.
Has your face felt dry and tight? Or does it hold oils like a sponge? If the answer is yes, what you need is a facial. That's right, and not just any facial, but a FaceTox Organic Facial. Listen, the FaceTox Organic Blend, it's free of parabens, it's vegan, and mixed with 100% organic rose water. And this water binds your face and works right away as it slowly begins to dry. You see, when the organic rose is mixed with the FaceTox Blend, it creates a negative charge and will prevent and even draw out your blackheads, reduce the appearance of scars, even skin tone, draw out external toxins, heal and rejuvenate skin tissue, and it will even unclog and shrink your pores. FaceTox is probably the most powerful face mask you will ever use because the benefits to your skin are endless. Listeners of our show can receive a 20% discount by simply using the discount code BEAUTY20. FaceTox organic face masks are perfect for all skin types. So what are you waiting for? Order yours right now at FaceTox.com. Your skin will thank you.
All right, and I have still got to put my little mixture together of the FaceTox facial, but I'm excited to try it. I want to thank them for being one of our first advertisers for 2017. That's one of the new things you'll hear on the show. We will have advertisers on the show throughout the year. We're also planning to bring back some of the giveaways that we used to do. We're planning to do that a lot more in this new year, and a lot of other exciting things coming to the show this year. So stay tuned for that. Tell a friend about Beauty Talk so everyone can tune in every Sunday night at 9 p.m. We're just a little later tonight, but we're still at our normal time at 9 p.m. every Sunday evening for Beauty Talk. So stay tuned for a lot of great things coming your way. So tonight we wanted to just bring a hot topic
conversation to you guys tonight, very similar to our Beauty Talk Beauty News show, but it's not just news. It's more conversations on things that we've discovered or heard about and just wanted to talk about and get you guys' feedback. So I'm going to let my sister Denise start it off. Are you there?
Sorry, I was muted.
Oh,
there,
okay.
Sorry about that. There's something that's been going on that we all have heard about, that we all know about. Some of us are a little tired of it, I guess. But there's something that's been going on for the past couple of years now that I would like to see it stay in 2016. Like, I don't think we need to see it in 2017. Please let's not carry that forward. But the whole highlighting and contouring, you know, the heavy highlighting and contouring and the, you know, the whole strobing and the baking and all this extra shimmer all over the place is just a bit much. And I would love to get rid of it. Love to get rid of it. And I was looking at BuzzFeed.com. They had an interesting post on there about the whole topic. But I discovered this one blogger that I wanted to read a little bit of what she says about baking and strobing that, you know, and she mentions highlighting and contouring as well, but I just found it to be a little interesting. And it's going to, her words will kind of help play into another topic that I have for a little later on this evening. But, you know, so I'll read it and you can kind of keep it in the back of your mind for a little later on. But she goes on to describe baking as when you bake, you're setting the areas you'd like to brighten up with a bright translucent mineral powder. Baking can be done with the ever famous banana powder, depending on your skin tone, or sheer powder, which works for everyone. Strobing is highlighting without contouring. This process is popularly done with highlighting creams and then setting the highlight with the highlighting powder. The two sound similar, but are both done differently. So basically baking is like, for instance, if you you highlight under your eye and you just take, you know, your powder and you set the highlight under the eye with the powder, but then you leave it and you let it sit there for a little bit. So that whole process of that powder sitting there is called baking. Okay. Now just think about what I'm saying to you. People can call it whatever they want to call it, but the whole technique of whatever it is that they're doing is nothing new, nothing different, but just keep in mind what I'm telling you. Okay, so then she goes on to say, baking is usually done on top of the under-eye concealer to brighten the eye area and is left in its powder form for a few minutes, hence the baking process on your face. Once the product has set, you brush the powder away with a brush, revealing a smooth, creaseless surface. Okay, that must be on like a 23-year-old because when you start to get a little bit older, you know, 35 and above, that area is not creaseless, especially when you start adding powder to it. It is also used in between the brows, on the chin, under your contour line, on the jaw, and the nose. Okay, so strobing can be done all over the face. Okay, so remember, strobing is highlighting without contouring. Okay, so strobing can be done all over the face. But unlike with baking, there's no use contouring at all. When strobing, you're highlighting the natural high points of the face, yet you're not applying any warmth on the face, meaning no bronzers or dark powders, so hence the contouring. Okay. The highlight itself is supposed to be a natural way to have a fresh face. You can apply highlighter to the nose, the forehead, above the eyebrows, on the chin, or mix it with your foundation to give you an all-over glow. Okay, then she goes on to say, I personally feel these are the same trends that have been going on for years, the same trends, she calls it, that has been going on for years, just tweaked a bit in how to achieve a certain look and are called different names. I tried out strobing on my last trip to Key West, and I honestly broke out everywhere. I like to only highlight my Cupid's bow, high parts of the cheeks, and a dot on my nose. I like to add blush and contour to my face sometimes, so that was kind of weird for me not to do with this trend. I also didn't like how shiny and oily I looked. This look, she says, the look is great for the camera. Okay, so I'm going to stop right there because she says the whole strobing look, which is the highlighting with no contouring, is great for the camera. So she must be talking about a camera of a smartphone.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can't possibly think of what other camera she could be talking about. And, you know, being in our line of business of film and television, she can't possibly be talking about a film camera. She can't possibly be talking about a photographer's camera. All that highlight and no contour, and you see that is perfect for the camera. What do you think about that whole trend and like where it kind of took the whole industry? Because now you have your everyday women wanting these looks. You have so many bloggers who have set the tone and set, like, bloggers and beauty influencers, you know, and it goes into the YouTubers, people who are on YouTube and Instagram where they're doing these, you know, these demos, you know, doing this stuff. And yeah, you know how people would always say, you know, there are no rules in makeup. You know, you can pretty much do what you want to do with makeup. And you can, but when you start calling yourself a professional, that's where you draw the line. And certain things shouldn't be done because, you know, they can't be done that way. But all of the trends that she speaks of, you know, like I'll go back to the top where she says, I don't think I read this part. She says, I want to discuss two makeup trends I've seen become popular very quickly. You might have heard about highlighting and contouring in the past years. But see, the whole thing is highlighting and contouring have been around since the beginning of time, since the beginning of makeup. It's like I read this blog post, but there's no mention of, you know, oh, she's got a small forehead, or, you know, she's got chubby cheeks. You know, and, you know, the whole purpose of anything, it's just trends, you know,
right.
how we can make someone look with just, you know, simple, stupid little techniques like highlighting all over the face. Like, what's the purpose of that? Like, you don't even they think they're transforming, and they are transforming in a way, but it's not necessarily proper.
Let me say this. And I'll speak from my professional experience and also just comment on from some things that I've seen. Like you're saying, these techniques really shouldn't be referred to as trends, but I refer to them as trends because it's something that we're seeing a lot of in a new way on social media.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I would refer to it as a trend. But these techniques have been used, like you said, from the beginning of time. And this same thought came to me, but it was not necessarily from the highlighting, contouring. Well, I guess you could say highlighting of the brow. You know, I look at how everyone today highlights the brow, you know, above the brow, you know, above and, you know, at the brow bone, below
right.
the brow. And I look at some people in the street with that, and I'm saying to myself, where are you going with that? You know, when I look at it like they're using a lot of techniques that you would see, like, in the theater.
Right.
You know, if you want someone to be able to see your makeup and see your face from the stage, and you're all the way in the back in row double Z, you know, then that's one thing. But when you get up close on people and you see them using these techniques that are now trends on social media, to me, it looks a little, some things look a little ridiculous, because most people, even if they do contour and highlight on a daily basis, I personally think it should not be as strong as you would see it on a lot of people today. I just think that, you know, it has gone a little too far. I would love to see that that Instagram, I'll call it Instagram, but it's all over social media everywhere. But I would like to see that Instagram trend stay in 2016. I would like to see people get back to using the highlighting and highlighting and contouring for what it's really for. And just like you mentioned, no one's saying, when you look at a face, the first thing you want to think about is how would I change it, or what would I do to make some corrections? And then that's when you start using techniques, such as highlighting and contouring. If you were working on someone in theater or what have you, you would start breaking out some of these techniques, so that the makeup can be exactly what it needs to be and everyone can see what it is, and so you're using these techniques where you're, highlighting the brow bone above and below, but when you take it further than that, like she's talking about strobing and for camera, like you said, it definitely would not work for television and film,
I mean, so it wouldn't even work in a photographer's studio.
Well, that's what I was going to say as well. It wouldn't even work there as well. So we have to be, as professional makeup artists, because I see a lot of professional makeup artists, because the trend has gone this way, I've seen a lot of professional makeup artists kind of like jumping on the bandwagon. And, some of them know better, and they're just following the trend. Because you know why? Because some of the clients, whether they're talent or not, are requesting to look a certain way. So they're on social media, they see the trends, and that's what they want to look like. So a lot of professional makeup artists are jumping, on the bandwagon and following that trend. Then there are some makeup professionals who are new. And pretty much, a lot of times when you're coming out of makeup school, especially if you're going to like a cosmetology school and you get a few hours of makeup and then everything else, you're kind of on your own to take various classes or however you learn. When people go to social media to learn and they're seeing the trend, and then all of a sudden that's what they're doing. So a lot of people don't know any better because that's what they're learning. And they're learning it through social media. And then there's, like I said, some professionals who have just kind of jumped on the bandwagon and they're doing some of the same things. So, you have a mix of that, but I would love to see it stay in 2016. I would love to get past this conversation, get past this conversation. And hopefully as makeup professionals, we're all progressing and moving past that and putting certain techniques, putting those, that to proper use.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, that's so true about, people not knowing any better, because that's the thing. Everybody, is going to this, YouTube university to learn makeup, to learn hair, to learn how to deal with, their natural hair, or how, what to do with makeup, how to do a smoky eye. They're going because, that's a resource where people are doing videos and they're showing you how they do it. They're showing you how they do it on themselves. So, if that's where they can learn, they're going to go there to learn it. And whether right or wrong, they're going to, if it turns out okay on the person who's doing the video or doing the demo, they're going to try it on themselves. And sometimes that's what you get in the streets. You get something, somebody saw somebody on a YouTube do something and it didn't quite work out the way it did on YouTube, but they're trying it. But this is what's also happening. That person on YouTube is not explaining to you why they're doing certain things, partly because they don't even know. It's a trend. They're just copying what somebody else is doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the problem right there. That's the problem. People are doing this stuff and they don't know why. They can't even explain why. But there's something called a corrective makeup. And that's mm-hmm. the whole purpose of highlighting and contouring. Is, you know, it's to use as in a corrective makeup. And why it's corrective is because, you know, everybody's trying to create that perfect face shape. And certain highlighting and contouring techniques will give you that face shape. You just have to know what your face shape is and what you need to do to make it that perfect oval face shape.
And if it's not creating the perfect face shape or being corrective, it could also be where you're trying to create a certain look. You know, like Kevin Aucoin was famous for using those techniques. You
right,
know, what I mean?
Exactly.
To change,
exactly.
You know, someone's look
to look like someone else.
And that's
part of it too. That's part of that corrective, you know, face thing. You could change a man to look like a woman. You just have to know, you know, what techniques to use to do that. But that's in a creative, artistic, professional way. Whereas most of the stuff we see on YouTube is not coming from a professional. And I'm not at all trying to put anybody down on YouTube, but I'm just saying it's not coming from a professional. It's just coming from somebody who loves makeup and they want to try these different techniques. But let me go on and say this. At the end of her blog post, she says, "So how do you feel about these new trends? I hope you enjoyed my take on baking and strobing. And find which techniques work for your skin type." And I thought, what is she talking about? Because your actual skin type really has nothing to do with the whole baking and strobing and any of that stuff. Unless you're trying to find the right product that works for your skin type, whether it be a cream or whether it be powder. You know, if you have oily skin, you may want to, you know, do all your highlighting and whatever else with powder as opposed to the creams or something, if that's what she means. But really, you should find out which techniques work best for your facial shape. And I think this is a perfect lesson in what we've been talking about, not just tonight in this topic, but, you know, for the past few years now. You know, and it's like, you know, KJ Bennett, it's almost like a day doesn't go by where he's, I'm going to save that comment for later because it goes with another topic. So I'm going to save that comment for later. But I just encourage all the makeup artists out there, if you are a makeup artist, you know, before you actually anything to touch a client's face, I mean, please take a look at their face shape and really examine it and consider how you can enhance that face shape, how you can make it better, and actually use your highlighting and contouring techniques for that particular client's face shape. Don't do the whole cookie cutter, the way I used to call it, assembly line, paint by the dots. I mean, you know, paint by number, you know, highlighting and contouring. You have to do it specific for that particular client. Each client's different. Even if you have a client and they're two clients and they both have the same face shape. One could, you know, have chubbier cheeks. You know, one's nose could be a little longer, a little pointier. You know, so you have to consider that. Not, you know, in the whole highlighting and highlighting the ball of the nose, like, it's like sometimes I feel like people don't quite understand what highlighting is. It's like you're highlighting areas of the face that really don't need to be, you know, you don't need to draw any attention to that. But that's, you know, personally, that's a class all in itself, really. That's just totally a class all in itself. But that's my first topic. That's. You know, those are some trends that I would like for it to stay in 2015, 2016, and never resurface. That and those thick eyebrows.
Well, I just wanted to bring up an issue. You know, we over the holiday had the opportunity to visit a beauty school and speak to a couple classes there. And one of the things that I was noticing, you know, when we were asking a lot of the students what they wanted to do when they left cosmetology school, and there were a lot of interesting answers. The thing that I was very happy about the most is that, you know, as you go around the room, I think one of our classes, like the afternoon class, had over 30 students in it, and the evening class was pretty much close to 30 as well. And so, you know, we pretty much talked, you know, to over a little over 60 or 70 students in that one day. And when you go around the room, the thing that I love the most is that everyone had an idea or a plan for what they wanted to do, which I thought was great, you know, versus some people sitting around saying, oh, I don't know, you know, or not, some people not really knowing why they're even in cosmetology school. I thought it was great that everyone had a plan,
right?
You know, an idea of what they wanted to do. One of the things that I heard a couple people say, particularly in the evening class, I heard a lot of this, I think maybe one or two people in the afternoon class, but very few, a lot of people in the evening class were saying this, and they were referring to it as they wanted to be traveling stylists. So the first thing in my mind, I'm thinking, well, you know, we can all travel at some point, you know what I mean, at some point. But they wanted to be traveling stylists. This one guy was like, he wants to go and he wants to do hair all over the world. Like, you know, if he goes to L.A. and do hair, and then he goes to New York and do hair, and then maybe he's in Miami doing hair, and then, you know. And so I'm saying to myself, you know, I think it's a great idea to be a traveling, you know, be an artist that travels. But it made me think about, you know, this is a plan in concept, you know, like this is just something that I've created in my head. This is what I want to do. But what's your actual plan for traveling the world doing hair? And then there's another girl that was sitting right next to him said, you know, she wanted to be a traveling artist as well. And listening to her, it made me think that she wanted to be like a personal for a celebrity, you know, and then travel with the celebrity. And so it led me to ask, one of the things I just wanted to ask and put out there is, like, what is the fascination with being a celebrity hairstylist or a celebrity makeup artist? You know, or should I say just in general, not even calling yourself a celebrity stylist, but what's the fascination with working with celebrities? And I say that because I feel like a lot of students are making it like that's their priority. That's the thing that they're going after. And my question is, well, what is your plan? You know, what is your plan to, how are you doing this? Especially when you live in an area where, you know, it's not New York. It's not L.A. You know, it's not Atlanta where the film industry has pretty much, you know, taken over. It's not some of these larger cities. What is your plan? And what's the fascination with working with celebrities? And I say that because, you know, I think about, you know, like how we also over the holidays spoke with some kids at a church, and I remember one of the young men saying that he's a 10th grader, and he was saying that he wants to play professional sports. So we went on to ask him, okay, so are you playing now in your high school team? He says, no. Are you playing like at a, like a rec league or something? No. Like, he's not playing anywhere. And so we're looking at him like, well, you want to play professional ball? You know, and you think about it, on a football team, they have X number of players on the team, a basketball player, even less players on the team. How do you plan on getting there? You know, what's going to make you stand out? How are you going to set yourself apart? Now, if every makeup artist out there is following the trend and doing this highlighting, contouring, and strobing, what's going to make you different if you're doing the same thing. You know,
right.
So, you know, like, how do we talk to, just what's your take on this? How do we talk to artists, whether it's hair, makeup, nails, whatever the situation is, how do we talk to them and say, hey, you know, how do you stand out? Because since you're so fascinated with working with celebrities, how do you stand out? How do you, what kind of plan, or how can we help you create a plan for how you get there? Because a lot of people say, I want to play professional sports. A lot of people say, I want to work with celebrities. But how do you get there? Everybody out there is going for the same thing. There are so many makeup artists now, you know, and that's another thing I want to get to. But there's so many makeup artists now. How does one makeup artist stand out and get to the point where they can be traveling artists and travel and be personals for celebrities, especially when you come from an area where, you know, that's not prominent?
Right. Well, I've been saying for years on this show, you got to do the work. You got to put the work in. You know, if you want to be a great makeup artist, you got to start doing makeup. You know, we always talk to people about how to get into the hair and makeup union. Like, they always want to know how to get into the union so they can start working on film and TV. But everybody wants to know how they can get in, and they want to get in, but it's like nobody's focusing on doing the work. Like, you know, just do makeup. Do makeup. While you're doing makeup, you can easily tell people what it is you want to do, because you never know who you're doing makeup on. So just do the work. If you do the work, you get better as an artist. You know, and when you get better as an artist, more people start demanding your services. When people start demanding your services, then boom, you never know. You know, you might be referred to a celebrity from one of your friends, or one of your friends who has a celebrity friend who has a celebrity friend. You know what I'm saying? Like, you just never know what the connection may be, but you got to do the work. Because what if, you know, let's just say Alicia Keys decides she wants to wear makeup, and she's looking for an artist who does beautiful, you know, natural makeup. And, you know, let's just say you're just leaving cosmetology school and you're really good at makeup, but you do a lot of heavy makeup. You know, it's like you have to be able to, you know, pull that hand back and you know, and just kind of knowing the difference of when certain types of makeups are appropriate, being able to do a heavy makeup, being able to do a lighter, more natural makeup, being able to do a little bit of everything. That's what makes you great. But if you sit here and you say, oh, I want to be a traveling stylist, but yet you're not even a good hairstylist, how's that going to work? That's why it's important to focus on doing the work, learning your craft, learning everything about your craft that you can learn. You know, make sure you're current. Make sure you're doing styles that people want to see today, but be able to do styles that people did 20 years ago as well, because that makes you a better hairstylist. That gets you prepared if you ever want to be in the film and TV industry, and if you get a project that's a period piece. And, you know, and just because it's a period piece, it doesn't always mean it's from 1950s or 1960s. It could be from 1985. But you have to know that period. So it's important to do the work and to study your craft. And all of that other stuff will come later, you know, the working with celebrities, whatever. But if you're in, I'm not saying you'll never be able to, you know, work with celebrities. If you live outside of New York or L.A., you'll never be able to work with celebrities. I'm not saying that, because that's not
at
true.
All.
Because there are people, you know, in Baltimore, in Philly, in D.C., you know, in North Carolina, who work with celebrities all the time. Most of the time it's because they're good and somebody referred that celebrity to them, when that celebrity probably, you know, visited that city or something.
And
so
therefore
that's why
they have become traveling artists.
Exactly, but that's why it's important to be great at what you do. And the only way you're going to be great is if you put the work in. If you're a makeup artist, start finding people to do makeup on, trying different things, trying different looks, taking pictures of your work. But that doesn't mean posting them all over social media, but taking pictures of your work so you can see how you've grown, so you can see how you can get better, how you can grow, where you need to grow. You know what I mean? Evaluate your own work. Get other people to evaluate your work. Get other makeup artists who've been working for a while to evaluate your work. And then when they evaluate your work, you know, don't get upset because they're telling you something you don't want to hear.
Right.
Don't ask them what they think if you don't want to hear the truth.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
But that's the only way you'll get to that point of working with celebrities is just being a good artist. All of that other stuff will come later, even when it comes to getting into the union. All of that will come later. You can have, you know, 200 days on production type work and can qualify to get into the union that way. But yet you get in there, you don't know nothing about period makeup or hair. You don't know anything about special effects, nothing. What good are you? What good are you? You're no good at all. So that's why you have to prepare yourself by doing the work and learning your craft. Getting
Absolutely.
In and getting to that point will all come later.
Absolutely. And I just mentioned when I was speaking of that, I mentioned that, you know, there's a lot more makeup artists out here now, you know, than like when we first. And as we were speaking to the kids at the school, we mentioned that, and somebody said it's because there's no license. And you know what? They brought up a great point, because when I started in the state of Maryland, you had to have a license if you wanted to be a makeup artist, that, you know, if you ever wanted to work at a makeup counter in a department store, if you wanted to do makeup in like a hair salon or a day spa. And the truth be told, honestly, those were the jobs that you got as a makeup artist, you know, unless it was production work. And
right.
So, you know, so back then you had to be licensed, which I thought was a great thing, because that meant you had to go to school, you had to learn different things, you know, it's all about practice and theory. And then you had to go before the state board and take an exam. So
right.
I thought just like in cosmetology school. So I thought that was a great thing. Maybe, I don't know how many years after, at least it's been a long time after, when the state of Maryland decided that they were no longer doing licenses for makeup artists. And I can't remember what other states during that time had a license for makeup. It wasn't a lot, but there were some states that had a license for makeup artists. So I agree with them when they said one of the reasons is because you don't have to have a license. But I'm sure that there are other reasons for it. You know what I mean? Because, I mean, for instance, if, let's say, Maryland and let's say three more other states, you know, we have a whole lot more states in this country that didn't have a license, you know, for makeup artists back then, and there still weren't makeup, you know, a lot of makeup artists. So there's more than that as the reason. But what do you think about licensing? Should they bring the license back for makeup artists?
Oh, absolutely. 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 I think it will help students in the long run for those who really don't want to go to hair school, but they want to have some type of license. I think it will help them. I think there should be a makeup license, I think when you go to some type of makeup school to get, you know, a makeup license, and I'm assuming this is just for those who are going to like just a basic makeup school to learn more just beauty type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. I think within that training, they should also get, there should also be some type of aesthetics training in that. Like, it shouldn't be just a basic, like, you know, makeup class where you may learn how to, you know, I don't know, tint brows or something and do eyelashes or whatever. But I also think that eyelash extensions should be in there as well. Like, that should have a license. That should be
absolutely.
Either that should be thrown in there with an esthetician's training or makeup artist training or both. But I think there should be some basic skincare knowledge for makeup artists, even if it's just a basic facial, like learning to do a basic facial and learning to do a brow wax. I think that should be under a basic makeup training and under a basic makeup license. Because I think things are getting out of hand. This whole thing with lash extensions, and, you know, anybody can do lash extensions. There used to be a time where you had to have a license in order to take the training. But now you have people who are lash techs that are basically teaching their friends how to do lash extensions.
Oh, absolutely.
So these people, you know, are learning this, but yet they have no license from anybody's state board. So there's nothing, you know, there's no teaching them. I mean, they may, you know, whoever's teaching them may teach them about sanitation and sterilization. They might, and they might not. Most of the times not. But that's so important. And you're working with somebody's eyes and, you know, and you're working with different glues on their lashes, and most people are allergic to some of the glues and things like that. So, I mean, yes, definitely. I definitely think there should be, the license should come back for a makeup artist. And
absolutely.
Somehow lash extensions should be included.
And speaking of lash extensions, you know, it's funny how, because I think it was about a good, this is 2017 now. So I think it was about a good 6 or 7 years ago when I took my lash extension training, and you had to be licensed. And all of the people that I know that, you know, were trained on lash extensions are all licensed in some way. And it seemed like, you know, before I even took the training, for years I had been looking for a reasonably priced class. Because, you know, the training is so expensive, and I had been looking for years for a reasonably priced training course. So eyelash extensions have been popular for years.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Well,
you know
over
what I'm saying?
Years.
Just for, oh, my God, more than that.
Yeah.
You know, and so because I looked for a class at least 2 or 3 years before I even took the training. So it's well over 10 years, you know. 10 years, but I say all that to say, you know, when I took the training or what have you, it was still, the popularity of it was still growing, but it just seemed like all of a sudden, lash extension techs everywhere, and most of them don't have licenses, and it's like, where did all of that come from? You know what I mean? Like, that's something
right.
I would love to definitely stay back in 2016. Like, going forward, lash techs have to be licensed. I just don't understand how you're even allowed to buy a glue without a license, you know, You know, when you're
right.
working with someone's eyes, somebody could go blind, God forbid, you know, with someone who's not licensed. Now, that's not to say that the people who aren't licensed don't do a great job, because if they've been trained well, you know, they may, you know, really do well with it. But it's just so weird to me how all of a sudden, you know, people are taking the training, you know, getting trained by other lash techs, and next thing you know, people are opening up businesses. Now, remember, and we talked about this several times on this show, the last few years we talked about different states wanting to take away the cosmetology license, basically licensing altogether, barbers, cosmetologists, estheticians, you know, what have you. And remember, we reported that in the state, I believe it was Missouri, you know, local government officials.
The braider?
Local government officials said that when you take away the license, it brings more money to the economy.
Mm-hmm.
And so they said when you take away the license, it'll bring more money to the economy because more people will be opening up salons, you know, opening up their own, you know, businesses, and that brings more money to the economy. And so when I just spoke about people opening up, you know, starting businesses as lash techs and they don't have licenses, it reminded me of that. It's just kind of the opposite. Nothing's being taken away. It's just that they start off without it.
Right.
You know? But you know what I mean? And just imagine how scary that would be if all the lash techs out here did not have a license, and what if there's something came about with someone's eyes? You know, they have no license. Now, if you decide to lay down and let a lash tech without a license work on you, then, you know, you're doing that at your own risk. But just imagine if the license was taken away, and we haven't talked about this topic in a while, but just imagine if licenses were taken away at your, you know, local day spa that you always go to, and someone, you know, doing a full body wax or, you know, something where you could burn, even with the nails, some of the things that happens with nails and just all of these issues that could come about when you're dealing with a tech that doesn't have a license. And I really wish, and I'm going to call her name out on this show, but I really wish Cynthia Jones was on the line tonight because I remember her telling me about her hair and how a stylist, you know, she lost a lot of her hair. Some of it had to be cut off, you know, because of a relaxer. And an issue with the relaxer. And just imagine, you know, you dealing with situations like that and the person's not licensed or properly trained. You know what I mean? It's just those type of things that I would not trust a client, you know, something happening to a client and one of my stylists in my salon is not licensed, you know, what that could mean for the stylist and what that could mean for my business.
Right.
You know, and I just think it's so very important. Not to say mistakes don't happen and things don't happen with people who are licensed and professionally trained, but, you know, it's even worse when you don't have a license. I just feel like a license would protect you. You know, and it just makes you more professional. And some professions, you have to have it, you know, but if they take it away, if they take it away, and just because you haven't heard us talking about it a lot here on Beauty Talk, and just because it hasn't been heard, talked about in general, that issue still exists. You know, the issue of licensing, you know, licenses being taken away, it still exists.
Mm-hmm.
And then it brought me up to another point and another thought, you know, while we were at the beauty school speaking to one of the instructors in between the two sessions, and we were just talking about the business in general, and she just mentioned how a lot of times now, you know, like when you're setting up a new hair salon or a day spa or something, the state would come out and check and verify things and make sure everybody had a license and all that. But now, in some states, the state board is barely doing, you know, doing their little pop-up visits where they pop up out of the blue, you know, and come by, or sometimes they may even warn you and they come by. They're not doing that. So basically, you could be in a salon where you see your licenses up on the different licenses for each stylist up on the wall. You could be in a salon and they not have one. You know, and you automatically in your mind think that they all are licensed because they're working there. But the state board's not coming by and checking in some states. Like, what do you think about that? And how, I mean, what kind of effect does that have on our industry?
A negative one for sure. You know, it's the thing about it is, if State Board is not going to come around and check, then you know, I think, you know, some people in these salons are probably wondering, why bother? You know, why bother, you know, doing the right thing? That's, you know, it's so easy for, you know, if you know someone who needs a job and they do hair, but yet they're not licensed. The State Board's not checking, then sure, we can let them work here. We need the extra help. You
right.
know, so it's like, why bother? Only going to help the stylists, the salon owners, and it's definitely going to help and benefit the client in the long run.
Right.
Because if you have someone who's not licensed and they're not following, you know, standard and proper procedures when it comes to sanitation and sterilization, you're going to have an issue, and it could be an issue with someone's health. So, I mean, we have to have the State Board of all people doing the right things.
Right.
If the State Board is not going to do the right things, then why? I mean, what are we all doing here?
Exactly. I think it makes everything bad for our industry, because then it's like, you know, from a business owner standpoint, people have built their businesses in these professional atmospheres and safe and healthy atmospheres for their clients. And nobody wants to get fined or anything by the State Board, but if you're going to come and check on salon A, B, and C in the state of Georgia, then, you know, you really need to be doing it in Maryland and South Carolina, you know what I mean, and other states as well. It needs to be done all
right.
over the country. I just feel like it hurts the industry. And, you know, in every state board in the different states are different organizations, yes. But as a whole, I think it makes the business altogether look bad, because then it begins to be exactly like what we're just saying about the eyelash extension. Anything goes,
mm-hmm.
and that can't be when you're servicing clients and when you're performing services that where if something goes wrong, it can really interfere with the health of the client. So I just think it cheapens our industry. You know, our industry will, you know, certain people and certain things will not be held at a higher standard if things like this continue to happen. But I think everything always falls back on education, and I think when we are educated stylists, then we begin to expect more, not only from the salon owners in the salons where we work or makeup counters where we work, but then we also expect more from our industry and those who hold high standards in our industry. So, you know, if the State Board sets the tone for what we do in the hair salons and the day spas, then, you know, they need to set the tone and set the bar very high, you know. And I'm thankful that we were asked to sit on the board at the particular school where we spoke over the holiday. And I'm so happy about that, because it gives us the opportunity and the chance to work with administrators, helping them, you know, write curriculum, helping them to make decisions that's going to impact these students in a positive and in a powerful way, you know. So
right.
I like to see the students get the most out of their educational experience, and I'd like to see them be prepared for the professional world and professional atmosphere. So I'm very thankful for that opportunity.
Right. So I have another topic. I don't want to get too, you know, I don't want to go too deep on this, but it's just a thought. You know, we're starting to see more and more organic, like skincare lines. You know, more organic natural makeup brands. You know, and I guess my question is, do you think we'll continue to see more of these brands pop up like this year and forward, or you know, like, are these products appropriate? Do they work? Do they live up to the hype of organic? You know what I mean? Some products you'll see, and on the you know, labels, it'll say 70% organic. So basically, you have 70% of it organic ingredients, and the other 30% chemical. Like, you know what I mean? So I guess my thing is, I think it's the brand's responsibility to educate the consumer on what they mean by organic, because I think this particular brand that I'm speaking of, you know, they labeled it properly on their labels that only 70% of this is organic and the other 30% not. There are a lot of brands out there who are saying they're organic, but you know, the whole product isn't organic. So they're not telling you that, oh, only 20 to 30% of it is not organic. They're just saying, oh, we have an organic product line. So, right. You know, I commend those brands that are out there telling you exactly how much of the product is organic. But, you know, but because the product has chemicals in it, it doesn't necessarily mean that the chemicals are toxic. You know, mm-hmm. some chemicals used in cosmetics are safe. They're very safe. You know, we see a lot of brands that say, you know, we're paraben-free, we're this-free, we're that-free. But some of the things that they're listing are not necessarily bad for you. So I think sometimes, you know, as consumers, we get caught up in these buzzwords, you know, natural, organic, and we think, okay, in order for me to be healthy, I need to use this, I need to eat this, you know, like the whole thing with gluten-free. Like, it just really bothers me when something is labeled gluten-free that you know ain't had no gluten in it anyway. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's like, right, stop with all the nonsense. You know, we know you're doing, you know, you're labeling stuff this way so that people will buy it. So that people will buy it. But there are a lot of people out there who are really ignorant because they're not really educated on what it all means.
Wait a minute, let me just say this. I'm laughing because we talk about this all the time, considering that we both, you know, are eating gluten-free now. We talk about this all the time, and I laugh because I think about Utz potato chips, you know, and on their bag it says gluten-free. But like you said, it didn't have any gluten in it from the start. You know what I mean? So it's just funny. Like, the more and more you research and you read labels, you know, when you're in the grocery store picking up these things, it's frustrating, and then it's hilarious all at the same time, you know.
Yeah, so it's
but
like if you're eating gluten free, then just understand why you're eating gluten free and not just jumping on the bandwagon. You know,
right.
For some people, like for us and our particular blood type, because more importantly, we're not just eating gluten free, but we're eating for our particular blood type. And so we know that gluten's not good for our blood type. And just being a woman of a certain age, gluten is just not good anyway. So, you know, we're eating for our particular blood type. So it's not just, oh, I'm gluten-free. No. Mm-mm. No. So just understand why you're doing certain things. But back to the skincare and cosmetic brands, you know, most people, they want these natural brands. They, you know, they want these chemical-free, you know, brands. But are these natural and organic brands, are they effective? Are they doing what you need them to do? Like if there's, you know, if you have really oily skin and you're prone to breakout, you know, are these lines doing what you need them to do?
Let me
maybe
just
they
read,
are. I don't know.
Let me just read this response coming from Sharon Tina from Philadelphia. She says, in your response to talking about the organic label, she says, it's mm-hmm. all for marketing purposes. Organic mm-hmm. label equals marketing dollars, and that is mm-hmm. the truth. It's the
yep.
truth. You know, it's
yep.
just a big thing now because people are going to, just like you just talked about, you know, paraben-free when it comes to your skincare products, your hair products. It's a big thing in hair products now. When it comes to food, people are, you know, trying to eat more organic, gluten-free. You know, people want healthier options for your food, for your skin, for your hair. Not to say that everyone that puts out a product that says organic or gluten-free or what have you, not saying that they're doing it for the for marketing. Some people really actually care about putting out products that's healthier, you know,
right.
for you. You know, but it's true. You see it all the time that it's
right.
marketing dollars for a lot of companies.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's my whole thing, you know, is this all about marketing or are these products really good for our skin? Like I would love this year to have more brands come on that are organic to really talk to us about their products, but not just talk to us about their products, but really get into a detailed conversation about the ingredients. You know, what ingredients are you not including in your products and why? And then, you know, for those people who have, you know, speak to specific skin conditions that may need certain products in it. And if do you have like an, you know, alternative ingredient that can help that particular skin condition, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, you know, I would love to bring people like that on the show to really, you know, get into the nitty gritty of this whole organic natural skincare and makeup thing. Cause you have Jessica Alba's line, Honesty Beauty. And then, Gwyneth Paltrow is, creative director of a line, Juice Beauty. And then you have the brand Eminence that's really popular now, a skincare brand. That's another organic line that a lot
of... Okay, let me just say, are a lot of celebrities using that?
I'm just saying like a lot of spas are using it.
Oh, that's what I wanted to say because... I went to the Face and Body Spa Expo in Atlanta, and I went to one of their seminars. And after that, they pretty much in the seminar introduced all of their products. And I went out and I purchased a cleanser, and I'm currently using that cleanser. I really like it. Some parts of my skin, I feel like it dries it just a tiny bit. But
mm-hmm.
for the most part, all over my skin, it works fine. I like it. Since then, they have sent me some products that I started trying. They had this face oil, which I absolutely love. I really, really, really love the line. I really do. I love the line, and I can't wait to try some of the other products that they sent.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there's other things out there that we use all the time. That's natural. What is it, Mario Badescu?
Yes.
You know, there are other ones out there that are really nice. And
there's a brand called Oz Naturals that I really like.
Oh yes, I love them. I love them.
And they're the ones who I was referring to when I said they'll, you know, list on their label, like, you know, and I'm mm-hmm. 70%, you know, organic. And I'm just coming off the top of my head with percentages. It may be more than that, but I'm just coming off the top of my head with those percentages.
Yeah. Yeah, those three are ones that I've tried and I really, really, really loved. Like I said, Eminence is a big spa. You'll see it a lot in the spas. You won't be able to go to like Sephora or the department store, not yet anyway, and buy that particular line. And then I've only seen Oz online.
Mm-hmm.
But
yes.
Yeah, those are great. Those are really great. But I want to read the other half of Sharon Tiedemann's comment. She went on to say, people respond to marketing associated with causes, especially those that are environmentally protective, and that is the new definition of organic. The word itself just has mass appeal.
Absolutely. She hit it on the head.
So absolutely. There you go with the organic topic there.
Yep. And the thing is, if it's good for you or if it's not good for you, it's important that you do the research for yourself. You know your skin type, know what your conditions are. Take time to look at yourself, examine your face, examine your skin, cleanse twice a day, do the things you're supposed to do. Take a visit to an esthetician, get a facial from time to time. You know what I'm saying? And really, try to take care of your skin. But you'll never know what's right for you until you try it.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And before we finish up tonight, I just wanted to get this information out there while I'm thinking of it. Nails Magazine, they have their, I think this is the fourth year, and they have their annual Nails Next Top Nail Artist competition approaching. And it's from 24 semifinalists in May to June. They will participate in two pre-challenges, which narrows down the race down to about 12 competitors. The contest comes from all over the world. The top three finalists are flown to America's Beauty Show in Chicago in March to find out who wins. The main portion of the competition runs from September through November with 10 weeks of back-to-back challenges. So even if you're not competing or sponsoring, you can still vote and view the competition results at ntna.nailsmag, that's nailsmag.com. And they're looking for professional nail techs who are inspired, creative, reliable, and up for a challenge. Applications must be completed by the end of April. NTNA, which is Nails Next Nail Artist, sponsors can also join in on the fun by creating a challenge and serving as a judge for that week. Sponsors must sign on by the end of April as well. To learn more about applying or a sponsorship, email beth.livesay@bobit.com. And I'll say that again. Email Beth, it's beth.livesay@bobit.com. So if you want to apply, just send an email. Everything has to be done before the end of April, and then the main portion of the competition will run from September through November, but you got to get started now. All right.
Let me just ask this really quickly before we leave. I just want, because this is something I was touching on a little bit earlier, and so I just wanted to go ahead and bring that up. But I was mentioning, I was going to mention KJ Bennett. He's got his following on Facebook in my kit. And the one thing that he has a in my kit professional page as well. And then the one thing that I would love to see is for KJ's page to get back to what he used to talk about, like on his website and everything, where he would talk about ingredients, skincare or makeup, ingredients and different products and product knowledge and stuff like that, because I think it's getting a little out of hand. Like KJ goes hard for the professional makeup artist, and I can appreciate that, but where it's getting a little old is the whole thing against the Instagrammers and the YouTubers, like, I'm over that. Like, who cares anymore?
I mean, every time I see a post about some beauty influencer who didn't, you know, properly disclose certain things in their blog post about different brands that, you know, I'm so over it. Because the thing is, you're not going to be able to stop any brand from giving products to whoever they want to give products to. If someone doesn't properly disclose that this brand gave them this product to do this post or whatever the case may be, or they're not receiving compensation or they are receiving compensation or whatever, then that's for the brand to deal with. Why do we have to sit and hear this stuff, you know, and see this stuff on Facebook all the time? Let's talk about what's important. Let's just talk about the products. You know what I mean? Let's talk about the products. Let's talk about the techniques. Let's stop with all of this. This YouTuber, this Instagrammer didn't do that. Who cares? Who cares? It's the same stuff. We've dealt with the same stuff in 2016 all year long. Let's do something new. Let's get back to educating.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get back to educating. You know what I mean? And it's like, you know, you can't say this on the page. You've got to go back and look at the rules, and you can't say that on this page. And I'm not trying to attack KJ. I love KJ, but it's like some things, it's like enough is enough with all this. If we're professionals, let's get back to dealing with professional business. Let's get back to interacting with professionals, you know, and stop
right.
all of this other nonsense. There's some professionals out there who need education. Talk to them.
I agree I think what happens is it's not just on his page, but it's on a lot of other well-known pages as well on Facebook. You know, I think for the professional, some of this stuff has become too much. You know, because we've seen it thrown, you know, at you
mm-hmm.
all over social media. You know, you talk about Instagram, you talk about YouTube and whatever other, those are like the most popular ones though, on YouTube and Instagram. And I think as a professional, when you see this, sometimes you can't help but to address it like KJ does, which I can
mm-hmm.
appreciate. But like you're saying, after a while, it's like, as professionals, when are we going to stop worrying about the non-professional and
right.
worry about professionals and educating professionals and making sure that the professionals are on point and getting what they need. And so
right.
I agree. I would love to see that stay in 2016. And as professionals, we get back to being, supporting other professionals and educating professionals, uplifting other professionals, and just being professional, you know, and
right.
not focusing on things that really are not going to make a difference for us as professionals. Because, you know, as professionals, if we have relationships with brands and everything is fine with our relationship with the brand, then that's really all we should really be concerned about, you know. I do understand, though, you know, when you see somebody that's, and I'm not saying that the YouTubers or the Instagrammers aren't professionals. I'm just saying a lot of people who I think he's referring to is just bloggers, you know, and. You know, so, you know, we just want to get away from our conversation being about that kind of thing and just being
more
about
us against them. You know,
right.
It shouldn't be us against them, because what it looks like is, it looks like you're so worried about them. Like, oh, gosh, like they're going to take something away from me. Who cares? What's yours
mm-hmm.
is yours.
Mm-hmm.
If they want to, if they want to get on and try products out, and if the brand thinks that there's more value in a blogger using their product and trying out their product, then so be it.
Right,
so
and just like Sharon Tina, said, is saying on the BBM group, and this is how you close this conversation right here. She says, and I won't lie, the constant bashing makes the professionals look like haters.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. You know, the thing is this. To me, it says if you got to be so concerned with that. To me, it says maybe you're not working. Maybe you're not as busy as you make yourself look like you are. You know, and that's not directed to anybody in particular. Get over it. Get a job and work. That's how you beat that game. Work. You're a professional. Work. You're too busy working. You don't have time to sit on social media and worry about what a blogger is doing. You know,
that's
work.
Right. I agree.
Ridiculous.
We shouldn't, you know, be so concerned with that type of thing, and just be more concerned with the professional side of the industry and doing the work.
Yeah, absolutely.
I totally agree.
Absolutely.
Totally agree. Sharon Tina says, I mean, this BBM line is really hot tonight. She says, sometimes the brand has nothing against professionals by enlisting a blogger. Just like with organic, they will get more ROI from having a blogger promote.
Right. Right.
And if that makes you feel a certain way, then maybe you need to, you know, deal with the brand on that. But I could care less. You know, when I reach out to brands, when I'm working on my film and television projects and I reach out to brands, you know, for products, either they give them or sometimes they don't. But, oh, well, you know, the thing is, I'm not required to to do a video saying, oh, look at me using this product. Because of the nature of the business that I'm in, I can't necessarily post photos or videos of me using that product if the actor is in their costume or something like that. You know, we have to wait until the movie is shown or the television show airs before we can release any types of pictures like that. So, and at that point, it's like after the fact. I mean, it still helps the brand, but brands don't get pictures and stuff from us until months and months later. So it's not like I'm required to do some kind of video or anything, because that will just, you know, really not happen. So
right.
For us pros, we can get products without having to do all that. At the most, we can just say, thanks so-and-so for giving me the products. You know, give them a shout-out on Instagram with you, you know, holding the product in your hand or something. You don't have to go
right.
as far as, you know, doing all that other stuff.
Right.
So I just encourage the professional makeup artist, you know, if there's something about YouTube or Instagram that you don't like, hey, do it differently on your page. Don't worry about the next person. Yeah. Just do it differently on your page.
Right. Absolutely.
You know?
We just get back to, I just think, you know, in this year on social media, we have to get back to communicating, like in these groups, we have to get back to communicating on a more professional level and just get to the point where we're sharing information, sharing knowledge. You know, sometimes people have questions. What should they do? What product should they use? Kind of get back to that type of thing more so than, you know, these conversations about bloggers and Instagrammers and, you know, that kind of thing. So, because what we want to do, because, you know, like 1 minute we're talking, you know, about that kind of thing. Then over here on the other side, you know, we just shared information tonight about, you know, things that make our industry look bad, like state boards and the lack of licenses and you know. And so as a whole, when you put all of that stuff together, what does it look like? Doesn't look like anything
right.
positive to me, you know what I mean? And it just looks like,
mm-hmm.
It just looks like it's putting a damper on the industry. But, you know, I don't want to waste any more, I'm not wasting time, but I don't want to put any more time into that because, you know, we are running out of time. But I just, you know, I just want us to get back to more positive conversations in 2017.
Right.
So, with that being said, our planned guest for next week is Miss Susan Bennett, and she's a social media expert, and she'll be on with us next week to talk about social media. And
that's going to be a great show.
Yes, so social media and the professional artist. So whether you're a makeup artist or hairstylist, barber, nail tech, she's going to be on and she's going to discuss social media with us. Susan has been on the show before, but she is fabulous and she knows her stuff. So be ready to take notes because if you want to improve your social, if you want to improve your social media presence, you're going to want to be listening to next week's call. She's got lots of information for you, and she's willing to share it. So jump on with us at 9 p.m. We'll be back at our regular time next week, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So tell a friend, tune in next week, and we'll be back with more inspiration, more beauty news, and just a whole lot of fun. So.
Yeah, you're going to want to bring your notepads and your pens next week.
Yeah,
you really
absolutely.
Are. I think it's gonna be a great show because there's so many changes since we last had her on the show. But there's just so many changes since you know a month or so ago on all social media. You know, with Instagram and all the changes on Instagram and you know being able to be live now on Instagram. But you know, Instagram and Facebook are kind of one of the same. So there's a lot of new things there. There's quite a bit of new changes on Snapchat. And so we just want to talk about all of that and how we can benefit from that as creatives and just, you know, for those people out there who aren't in a creative field and they just listen to the show because they just happen to like Beauty Talk, they can hear how they can benefit from social media or at least just find out what the changes are so that they can, you know, be more effective on social media.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we thank you guys again. Again, this was our first show of the new year. Happy New Year to all of you again. And, again, we have a lot of exciting new things coming up on this show in this new year. So stay tuned. And like I said, we're going to be doing a lot more giveaways. We have a lot of show sponsors this year. So make sure you tune in to see what's going on. And as always, if you have something you want to talk about or if you have an artist that you know of that you think would be great for the show, you guys can always email us at beautygirlsmedia@gmail.com. That's beautygirlsmedia@gmail.com. We will always take a look at what you guys have and answer any questions that you may have for the show. And with that being said, thank you so much, everybody, and have a great evening and a beautiful and blessed week. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Has your face felt dry and tight, or does it hold oils like a sponge? If the answer is yes, what you need is a facial. That's right, and not just any facial, but a FaceTox Organic Facial. Listen, the FaceTox Organic Blend, it's free of parabens, it's vegan, and mixed with 100% organic rose water. And this water binds your face and works right away as it slowly begins to dry. You see, when the organic rose is mixed with the FaceTox Blend, it creates a negative charge and will prevent and even draw out your blackheads, reduce the appearance of scars, even skin tone, draw out external toxins, heal and rejuvenate skin tissue, and it will even clog and shrink your pores. FaceTox is probably the most powerful face mask you will ever use because the benefits to your skin are endless. Listeners of our show can receive a 20% discount by simply using the discount code BEAUTY20. FaceTox organic face masks are perfect for all skin types. So what are you waiting for? Order yours right now at FaceTox.com. Your skin will thank you.